Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. The Hook.
I'm going with my most memorable. It was either 81 or 82. I don't remember the exact year because it was the 80s. It was Ozzy Osbourne at the New Haven Coliseum.
That's a good one.
When the concert started, it was lightning and rain.
Wow.
And when it led out, it was a snowstorm.
That sounds like an Ozzy show.
Wow. Yeah. And when you say snow, you mean like real snow from the sky?
Yeah,
not from the 80s. Snow from the sky.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Ozzy's lungs should explode.
You walk in, it's one thing. You walk out, it's a completely different. It's like you were transformed.
Yeah, how long I was in here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. No, it was pretty wild. People were dancing around crazy on the steps. It was nuts.
Oh, that's Ozzy when you want to see Ozzy.
Yeah.
Like that was, just came out with Blizzard of Oz. That's funny. Blizzard of Oz.
Yeah. And there was a blizzard.
Right.
We made up a little saying. We said, Ozzy came with lightning and rain and left a snowstorm for your brain.
Nice.
Wow, you even came up with a slogan for the concert.
Right.
Is that the show where someone fell off the parking garage and died?
That I couldn't tell you. I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's a good one, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Keep it going. I love it.
Thanks,
you too, brother. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Lynn, the lunch lady.
Good morning, Chaz and AJ.
Good morning.
You are so pleasant. How's it happening?
Just the perfect lunch lady,
right? That lunch lady we had.
I'm serving chocolate milk today. That's
what are you drinking it?
Yeah.
I'm on a sugar high right now. I ate all the cookies. What do you got?
Kahlua in the chocolate milk.
I got 1979 Kiss, Judas Priest. I was 8.
You were 8?
And I was 8. My father was the best. So he took us to the show, and I was scared, but I remember Rob Halford in this tight red suit with long blonde hair and just screaming his head off, and Kiss just being really awesome, scary, but so fun. Set the stage for the rest of my concert experience.
Yeah, think about the wardrobe crates backstage.
Yeah.
The Kiss stuff?
Yep.
That's like a truck full right there, just what they wear.
Just their boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was insane and so fun.
That's a great double bill.
I was also at the Motley Crue show where Tommy Lee fell off the ceiling. Right. I was at that one, too.
How is that not the most memorable show?
Yeah.
Well, it really was because he fell very close to us, too, and it was mayhem on the floor. It was crazier outside because people were so mad that the show was over and they just lit cars on fire and it was crazy.
They lit cars on fire.
Really, that's new information to me.
I didn't know about that.
Because the last thing Vince said on stage was, "We'll be back."
Right.
New Haven.
Yeah.
They were back, but they charged us.
Right. I mean, he was okay. Just land on his head.
Well, Tommy landed on his head.
It sounded like, don't. Tom.
Everyone who was there said it was a whap.
Oh, yeah.
It was a loud, you knew it was bad sound.
Right. Wet meat.
Totally.
Wet meat.
Yeah, a thump.
Whap.
Whap.
All right. Like thank
throwing,
you, Lynn.
Like throwing bologna against the wall.
Whap. Have a great day, guys.
All right. You too.
The lucky stick.
It's a cool lunch lady, by the way.
Plap.
Plap.
Get the spatula.
Right.
Yeah, Lynn get him off with the spatula in the lunchroom.
Can you imagine if he died? Like, because he was, if his head was one way or the other when he landed,
that can kill him.
Could have killed him right there.
Yeah, I'm luckily so light, though. I probably just like stuck in the ground like a javelin.
Jeff the Chef.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Well, the most memorable would have to be when I was in Italy. I saw Andre Bocelli play in a arena that was outside that they used to use, and his shows are just amazing.
Did they release the lions as he was singing? Don't make him feel so.
They actually had the lions, and they had an ice skating rink. While he was playing, it had ice skaters out there.
He's trying to sing the prayer.
Guy, there's some guy dressed as Caesar. He finishes the song. The guy just puts his thumb down. All of a sudden,
yeah, three lions looking at him like a pork chop.
Let this be my prayer. Oh, my God! You're running. They keep the spotlight on me.
Spotlight on stage. What are you doing, figure eights?
It looks like a grand opening. He's running all over the place.
I don't know. Does anything get more Italian than that, seeing this guy in Italy?
No.
Not really. Outside.
No. I heard he handed out olives.
Probably at some famous Colosseum or whatever.
He gave a little plate of, like, soppressata and olives.
Where's your men go?
Hey, what's over here?
Thank you, Jeff.
Have a good one.
That's a good one.
That was exhausting.
For you.
Out over there.
You were running around. Imagine if you were really running. You were just fake running.
Oh, my God.
You are. You need
shape.
Some work. Mark in Stratford.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
I'm going to go with my first one. It was billed as the Great American Rock Show. It was done at JFK Stadium in Bridgeport at Central High School.
Okay. Yeah, I remember JFK.
Okay, and it was Rick Derringer, Jay Giles, Blue Oyster Cult.
Wow.
Rainbow was supposed to be there, but they were pissed off that they billed as the Great American Rock Show and didn't come.
Oh.
Okay, and I think I paid $14 for the ticket.
Damn, for all those bands.
At that time.
14.
Yep.
What year was that?
I believe it was either 75 or 76.
Yeah.
Because I just turned 15 years old, and I bought myself a Ford Econoline van, and I couldn't drive it.
Oh, the Econoline vans? Those are cool.
So I had to have my older brother drive it.
Nice. Get a van, man.
That's it. We put the shag carpet on the walls.
Yep. Shag carpet.
The shagging wagon.
Nice.
Yes, it was a good show. It was a great show. They came out saying Blue Oyster Cult. Blue Oyster Cult sang Godzilla.
Right.
That's wild.
It was a great concert.
I went to one show there.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. I actually helped set it up, the scaffolding and the sound and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, you can come back tonight and see the show. I'm like, okay. Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers.
Yeah. That would be a good show, though.
My dad liked Kenny Rogers, right. So I was like, I'll go.
Yeah.
It's free.
The gambler.
Free, I'll go see anybody.
Yeah,
really.
I probably went for 3-4 songs.
Right.
Went across the street to the pantomime.
Do Coward of the County.
Right.
Woo-hoo. Promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. Come on, do it.
Islands in the stream. Right. Chaz is in the back with a light. He's like, one more time.
Where's Dolly?
Andre and Derby.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Yo.
Not my first, but definitely memorable. So back in 2008, I went to go see Buddy and I went to go see Iron Maiden at the PNC Bank Arts Center in New Jersey, which is kind of like the Meadows. It's like indoor-outdoor.
Yeah.
So we got there. It was raining like crazy. Like, I got drenched before we even got into the gate. So anyway, but thankfully, we're under the pavilion. So they're going through the show. Maiden's playing. The place is packed. So they start playing Rhyme of an Ancient Mariner. And if you know the song, there's a part of it where there's like the climax of the song where, like, Bruce Dickinson screams, down falls the rain, and all these fireworks and everything start happening. And I turn to look out to where the lawn section is, and there's lightning crashing everywhere and rain. It was, like, the most metal moment ever. It was perfect timing. It was the coolest thing I'd ever seen at a live show. It was like the gods came down and perfectly synced with the song. It was nuts.
And one poor bastard with an umbrella outside.
those people were just raging on the lawn, man. They were just going nuts. It was one of the coolest, like, not even, you know, scripted moments. It just... The weather cooperated and just made it just so cool for that.
That sounds pretty cool.
Excellent, man. Excellent.
It was. Yeah. It was really cool. But I was drenched. But at least my phone didn't get wet. That's all that mattered.
What is it, Andrew Bocelli in Italy being chased by a lion?
John in New Haven, what's your most memorable concert?
Okay, so I saw Led Zeppelin actually twice. First time I saw Led Zeppelin, I was just 10 years old. They were at Yale Bowl in New Haven. I want to say it was 1969 or
such a legendary show.
Wow.
There is somewhere a bootleg double album of that concert.
Really? Oh.
Yes.
Damn.
Really?
I had it.
Wow, that's cool.
Keyword had?
Had.
Yeah.
Then the second time I saw Led Zeppelin, I was in the military in Germany.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. And I actually was hanging out with a guy that was from Hartford. And we were in a town in Germany called Mainz, just bar hopping, you know. And I saw some Led Zeppelin concerts in a store. And I went in to buy a poster. They're like, oh, no, we're not selling poster. We're selling tickets. I was like, tickets for Led Zeppelin? They're like, yeah. I said, how much are they? They were like $15, I want to say.
Nice steal.
So we put all our money together, bought two tickets, and had no money to get back to the barracks. We had to hitchhike back at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
But you had tickets.
Yeah. So it was June 30th, I think, like 1980 in Frankfurt Fest Hall. And I think there was just a few more concerts after that, and John Bonham passed away. So
yeah.
We got to see him
wow.
before all that happened.
Yep.
But, yeah, so that's my most memorable, man.
To me, that's like saying you saw Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, because he could just...
It's, an icon.
It's one of those Mount Rushmore rock figures.
They had only a few
together. Yep. I saw Robert Plant. It's one of my most memorable moments at the New Haven Coliseum. He was just coming out of I'm Not Doing Zeppelin,
yeah.
that phase. It was the Now and Zen album. I met him backstage. He comes out. He's doing all these like big, log, and boring Robert Plant songs.
Yep.
And then there's this pause. And, and I thought the Coliseum was going to fall.
Erupted.
The crowd went nuts. Nice. I'll always remember that moment.
Yeah.
But to see them all together is...
Yeah.
It's a whole nother level.
I actually still have the ticket stub, a bunch of pictures, and at one point, some guy offered me like $500 for all the negatives.
Right.
But yeah, that's cool. He's so clever, Plant, man.
No, but thank you. Thanks for calling, John.
That's
appreciate it,
man.
Thank you for your service.
Great memory.
Tim and Clinton.
Hey guys.
Yo.
Hello.
So I'm from Rockford, Illinois, originally.
Oh.
And. Cheap Trick, and I'm actually friends with the drummer, and got to see him backstage do the whole Budokan set at Milwaukee Summerfest.
No kidding.
Wow. Buddy Carlos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was crazy cool.
Your friends, and what's he like?
He's just a hometown guy. He's very down to earth, you know, loves his family. Nice guy.
The only time I saw him was at CPI, which was like the Toad's Place of Long Island in Hamptons.
Hampton Bays, yeah.
And it was one of our radio station shows, and he almost got into a fight with someone in the crowd.
I heard
and
he was kind of scrappy.
And I don't know what the guy was doing. I think he was just, like, yelling something out. And the guy was like, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He came out from behind the drums. I'm like, well, this is a... Didn't think I'd see a fight with Cheap Trick and the crowd.
No, I want the song. I want you to want me, not that. Relax, that buddy.
He does have a temper. I can tell you that.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely saw that.
Yep.
The temper part.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tim.
But boy, what a drum solo afterwards.
With the heckler's hand on the drums.
Wow, he just beat the crap out of his drum set.
Frank in Brantford.
Hello, Frank.
Yeah, how you doing?
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to hang up on you. I
momentum.
Know. Go ahead. I'm going to give you a chance.
106.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Oy vey. So what do you got?
Hello. I'm on.
Duh. Really?
Not anymore.
What do you got?
Laura in Southington. Laura,
don't be a Frank.
Stefan Norwalk.
Wow, this is
firing squad. You better say something quick.
Steph, it's on you.
Yes. Is this thing on? Hello?
Yeah. Go.
So, technically, I have two of them, but the one might implicate me in criminal activity, so we're going to leave that one alone.
Okay. Oh, come on.
That's the
one we want to hear.
We won't tell anybody.
Statute of limitations.
93.
You're good.
Yeah, you're fine.
Montreal, Guns N' Roses, and Metallica. But that's not the good one.
Oh,
that's the riot one, and may or may not have been kicked out of Canada for that one. But anyway.
Okay.
Who wants to stay there anyway?
It had to be 87, 88. Yeah, no, who cares? I never bothered being kicked out of Canada, but I got.
But Guns N' Roses and Metallica was the riot because Guns N' Roses came on late, because that was a Metallica still pissed about that.
They started doing show tunes.
No. What happened is James Hetfield got burned by some pyrotechnics.
Oh. And okay. Right. I remember that show.
Right. They were calling for Guns N' Roses to come back out and help them finish the set.
Right.
Anyway, Axl came out, refused, riot ensued, things got busted, cars got flipped, city got half burned to the ground. I confirm or deny no activity in that.
Total right. Rock and roll.
Exactly. They can't pin it on you.
All right, we got a couple minutes for this last one.
Yeah, we got.
All right, 87, 88, there was a concert, the contest on the radio. This girl that I knew, liked, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you got to get into this. You got to try to win these tickets. Enter the contest, won the tickets, got two tickets. Bon Jovi, Trickster was opening for him. So that's kind of take the whole
lot. Oh, that's a flannel. Yeah.
It screams the 80s.
Right, yeah.
Right. So we're sitting there, and the day that we were supposed to go, the girl actually looks at me and goes, you know what, can I have the second ticket to give to my girlfriend? And I'm like, yeah, you know what, hold on, let me go home and get the tickets. I went to my buddy's house, and I'm like, you know what, I told him what happened. He's like, screw it, let's all go. So his little sister wanted the tickets. I gave her the tickets. We went up there. We figured out we'll just sit in the back parking lot and consume some beverages.
Of course, yes.
So at some point in time, my buddy gets this brilliant idea. Hey, you know what? The way this place is set up, if we distract the guards, the rest of us could bum rush the gate. So I'm like, all right, sounds like a good plan. So we go down, and next to the entrance, there was this little trailer. So we're like, all right, me and my one friend will jump up on top of the trailer. So we got lifted up. We get on top of the trailer. We'll jump off the other side. We'll create a scene. We'll distract the security guards. You guys bum rush the gate. That was the plan. So I'm the first one up on top of this little trailer. My buddy gets on top. I grab the top. I'm hanging down and looking through the window. That was the security guard booth. And there's like four security guards sitting there looking at me as I'm hanging off the building, looking through the window at them. I hit the ground. I tell my buddy to jump because of what it is. All the security guards come out, blah, blah, blah. Everybody bum rushes the gate. Everybody's in the concert. We make our way through the crowd. We get lost.
Wow.
Third or fourth song.
I feel like I'm at the show
in real time.
So I just need the I need the end now.
Yeah, what happens at the end?
I gotta go.
All right, 12 or 13, this girl, 12 or 13 years old, she tries to get on the stage. Two big security guards throw her out in the thing. She breaks her leg. A bunch of people bum rush the stage.
Nice.
Anyway, Bon Jovi runs out the back. The Orange County sheriffs come pouring in this place like clockwork. We're running across the back of this field. Go to jump over the fence. As I'm going over the fence, this Orange County sheriff jumped up and pushed me, hit the ground, broke my ankle.
Wow.
You know,
great show though, huh?
Do you see some kind of theme here, Steph? When you go to a concert,
you get arrested and stuff.
All
like that.
All hell breaks loose. Yeah. There's riots. People get injured. There's right. Hospital, ambulance.
Yep.
Let's bring on Martin Nolan, Executive Director, Chief Financial Officer of Julian's Auction. He has some exciting news. He was on last week talking about Kurt Cobain stuff and some other stuff going up on the auction block. The Kurt Cobain smashed guitar, smashed records, right? Martin?
Yes, incredible auction this weekend, guys. And that Cobain guitar sold for almost $600,000, so $595,900, almost 10 times its original estimate. I mean, incredible. It just shows you how sought after Nirvana items are. Even a guitar that was smashed by Cobain, signed with little notations on it by all the band members. Just incredible.
Wow. Something smashed, sold that much. I'm going to go smash my car right now. I'll sell it for more money.
Then go out and write a bunch of songs exactly, and become an icon right. Exactly, and then kill
right.
yourself.
Right.
And then wait like 40 years or 30 years, whatever it is.
Might be ending there, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I never mind. It's the thought.
Slash's top hat.
Ooh, that was the Nevermind era.
Yeah. Never mind.
Yep.
Slash's top hat, $3,800.
Yeah, not too shabby. He's worn many hats and still wearing them, and so that was a good price. I mean, I think also a good buy, because in years to come, whoever has that hat now, they'll sell it for more than what they paid at the weekend.
Yeah, not only that, how cool is that to have that in like a glass case in your house?
Yep.
In your game room or whatever? Yeah, right. Slash's
your
hat.
Man cave, yeah.
That was a Slash worn hat?
Yeah, and not only that, it was signed by him and with his signature doodles on it. So it's a piece of art as well. It's signed by him. Providence is solid. So all around, that was a good buy.
Eddie Van Halen signed and stage played 2004 Charvel EVH Art Series 78 electric guitar.
Yeah, we estimated that 30 to 50,000. We spoke about it on the show last week. Sold for $114,300.
Wow.
Again, that was a really good price. It was a strong auction, guys, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
People love this stuff.
Is the key to this to set the price low, to get people in and emotionally connected to it,
and then have them battle?
Well, sort of. The key is because you don't know what the actual true intrinsic value of the items are. I mean, it would be much lower for a Charvel guitar, but then you weave in all the factors. So what we try to do is place conservative auction estimates. So because we don't know where the market is, the public determine what the actual true value of an item is based upon its history, who played it, where it was played, when it was played. You know, so many layers of folded into the ultimate selling price, because it comes down to two people duking it out and then finally one person will walk away as a winner. But yeah, we try to be conservative in the estimates because, again, obviously if I had a diamond ring with so many diamonds, etc., on the intrinsic value, you'd estimate it like that. Or let's say a watch. You have an idea what it is.
But it's longer than I thought.
If it was
for an answer. Sorry. I drifted off and came back, right. And I'm like, wow, it's still going.
Wow.
So there's a real...
Sorry.
Hey, I love you and we're friends.
Right, but...
You know, I was just wondering if there's a key, and then you were trying to actually educate me, and I'm sorry that you made that mistake.
Yeah, we're beyond that.
No learning allowed.
It's like teaching a pig to sing.
Yeah. You know, just remember who we are, right. And then you'll be okay.
Just talk slow, use big words.
That Keith Moon drum set, I don't see anything on here. Did that not go?
No, didn't hit its reserves. But sometimes some people come to us and they have a high expectation of what they think something should sell for, and we try to, you know, sell it then at that point because we want to protect what their price level is. And sometimes it hits it, and sometimes the price was set at the moon and it was a little bit too high. So it may come back again, or, you know, somebody might approach us after our conversation, or maybe you guys might want to buy it, and maybe we can.
What was the reserve? Do you remember offhand? I don't have it in front of me. Sorry.
I do not.
Yeah.
To be honest.
You know what? Yeah. I wish I went on to the next project. I wish I went after the Michael Jackson, USA for Africa, 1985, We Are the World, MTV Best Group Video statue.
Oh, right. Wow.
Went for $9,100.
Oh, that's cheap.
That's a steal.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That cool in your man
that
cave.
Yep. I would have done, right. And then, like, who knows how high it would have went if I got in.
Right. Put a white glove on it. Yeah.
But, you know, you put a couple friends together and...
Yeah. Good investment for the future.
You get it for 3 months. I get it for 3 months.
Exactly right. Well, you fight to death for it. One of the things.
Okay. We could do that.
That's it. Knife fight.
And they make great doorstops as well.
They do. They really do. Michael used for it. Yep.
Man, that's just so cool.
Yep.
Like it's
obtainable. You know, it's one of those things. Oh.
Right.
9,000. That's...
Used to break walnuts. There you go.
You could do that.
Right. I'd wear Slash's hat. If I spent $3,800 on a Slash hat, I'd wear it.
But it's got his DNA on it.
Martin, does that take away from the value if there's someone else's head oil on it?
It was head cheeses on it.
Well, if it's Chaz or AJ, it probably adds about $2, $2.25.
That much, huh?
Wow. Anybody else? No.
Wow.
Yeah, so you want to keep it pristine, right?
Right. So that means don't wear that.
You heard about the passing of Tina Turner?
Yes, yeah, sadly. A legend, incredible lady. We sort of like, we've been watching Tina. We sort of did some work with Ike Turner. We were in house storage unit years ago. And we actually were trying to do an auction for Tina during her lifetime, which sadly did not happen. But yeah, what an amazing lady, 83, you know, just incredible. a huge loss, to be honest.
Do you now, when this type of thing happens, do people come out and, you know, from wherever they are and say, hey, I have some Tina Turner stuff, and you guys put together an auction, so like your next auction will have Tina Turner stuff? How does that work?
100%. We're already getting emails, would you believe?
Wow. That makes sense.
Different. Wow. Yeah, it's because people sort of hold out and they have these items to collect them over the years. And this is an opportunity where now people decide, oh, I would love to have something Tina Turner, so they want to buy. And then there's other people that had Tina Turner items that see this now as the opportunity to let go of the items, go to other people who are going to love and care and cherish those items going forward and preserve part of Tina's history. So for sure, that is already happening. It's incredible how this works.
You can't wait like 24 hours. I mean, Lee just died.
No, that's it.
Wow, that's cold, man. That's cold. At least wait a week or something. Then well, say, by the way, I got
everything
this.
Everything must go.
No, damn.
For us at the auction, we wait until the family get home from the funeral before we reach out.
Exactly right. Let me just have that lunch.
Yeah, 83, I would sign up for that now.
Right.
Plus, she had a long illness. Her husband donated a kidney to her.
Yeah, she had issues. But she had a clean living life. Like, didn't drink, didn't smoke, no drugs.
Right.
So I don't know how the hell it happened.
Yes, and she had a lot of sadness. I mean, a lot of fame and success, but, you know, she lost two sons, predeceased her. So, yeah, there was sadness. But, again, she was
well, parents didn't want her.
Lady,
yeah.
They kind of tossed her like a hot potato.
She had a hard life, but she rose above.
Yeah.
Well, her mom left home when she was 11.
Just disappeared, just took off.
Wow.
Yeah.
My mom tried that.
Yeah. You kept finding her and dragging her back.
Yep, she was in the mall. I'm like, I see you.
Couldn't shake her.
There was no candy behind that counter. Get back there.
Well, Martin, congratulations on another super successful auction.
Kick
clearly,
ass,
you guys are the ones to do it with, you know? Auction, I mean.
Absolutely, and appreciate you guys. Always love chatting about it, and we look forward to the next one, which will be November.
Great.
Awesome.
I hope to talk to you before then. Martin Nolan, Executive Director, Chief Financial Officer, Julian's Auctions. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I want that statue now.
We're going to hang out with him one night. Just go get drunk.
Yeah, he sounds fun.
Yep.
Trying to think. I don't have any rock memorabilia that would be worth anything. Like, you know, you have drumsticks from concerts or whatever. Do you have anything, Vince? Besides Pokemon cards?
He's got quite the collection.
I've got a Hulk Hogan autographed Sports Illustrated from the 80s.
That's pretty cool.
I've got an electric guitar signed by Chris Jericho, who was a wrestler, and he's in the band Fozzy.
Right. Oh, Fozzy,
I got a couple things like that, but I don't know if it's like, I don't know what they, I don't think Martin would be selling them. They're more sentimental, I think.
Right. I have a Motley Crue signed Stratocaster.
That's pretty good.
But Tommy Lee signed it twice.
Nice.
And that's even better.
I don't know if it was because he was just.
Right,
dude.
Well, in his defense, he landed his head one time. So.
Yeah, in New Haven. Right. So makes it. Maybe he did it that night.
Right.
Did he date them? It'd be great if they're dated the same date.
That would be cool.
Where am I, Tommy? Tommy.
I have a Lenny Kravitz signed Flying V.
Oh wow!
Wow,
that's sexy.
Yeah. The John Cafferty signed guitar. Okay, no one says anything.
That's a good. That's
I don't know how many there are. I don't want to interrupt
each
one.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
I don't. I have nothing
I got
like
nothing.
This.
Yeah.
No, you have no guitar pick. Nothing.
No.
You don't have a guitar pick.
No. Can I have one? I got nothing.
No drumsticks. No.
No.
Nothing.
No.
He would have got it at the Paul McCartney show, but it got canceled.
Exactly. I was waiting for that one. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think somewhere. I remember years ago, I got like the Destroyer, like the backstage pass.
Oh.
Signed by Peter Criss.
Oh, wow.
But I also got it at a stupid age. I don't know where the hell I put it, so I have no idea where it is.
You got it at a stupid age.
At a stupid age, yeah. Yeah. But I was like,
what year did you grow out of that?
Partying a lot. Well, you know.
Still working on it. All right. Man shoots roommate in butt for taking the last Hot Pocket.
Justifiable.
Call us and share your story. If you ever fought with a roommate or someone over eating what was yours in the fridge?
Yeah.
203-882-9757.
Yeah, if it's a pizza Hot Pocket, man, justifiable. That's good stuff.
Let's go to Kentucky.
Oh.
What do you think this guy's first name is?
Elmer.
It's Clifton.
Okay, close.
I was going to say Jed.
Oh.
Clifton Williams.
Cliff Dawes, that's a country name right there. Out there.
I'm Clifton Williams. Williams.
You just ate my Hot Pocket. Now I have to shoot you.
64 years old. What are in the Hot Pockets out there? Like you, raccoon?
Right. And you always pocket for pocket. You know, you shot, you ate my Hot Pocket, I shot you in the pocket.
By the way, I love the country. So.
Yeah.
I love Kentucky.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So. Why are they coming?
All right. So Clifton Williams, 64, and the male victim got into an argument Saturday night in the Kentucky home they share. The victim states his roommate got mad he ate the last Hot Pocket when Williams began throwing tiles at him.
Oh, tile fight. It's a tile fight.
The victim said he attempted to fight back by trying to, quote, beat his ass.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a Kentucky term right there. Beat your ass.
This is that is quote. Official.
I will beat your ass.
That's from the police report.
It is a quote from the police report.
Right. You throw a tile, I will beat your ass.
The victim said that when he began to depart the property, Williams retrieved a handgun from inside the home, came back outside. The man said he yelled, "Don't shoot!
Don't shoot!" That's reacting for you.
But Williams shot him in the ass while he was trying to leave.
I gave him a Hot Pocket of his own.
Real hot. I'm surprised
a whole pocket. Right? Now you got a hole in your pocket. The thing with a Hot Pocket, the evidence is right there. That sleeve that you have to cook it in is right there, man. You're so busted.
But you heard him from the other room because you got to go. You got to like blow on him. It's
Too
hot.
Because
you're
like, hot.
So he heard the ha-ha noise from the other room.
The actual pronunciation of a Hot Pocket.
Wait a minute. I know that sound.
Right. The actual pronunciation of a Hot Pocket is hock-hock-hock. Hock-hock-hock. Because you chew with your teeth, you can't let it touch any like flesh in your mouth.
Right.
It's so hot. Like, oh my God, molten lava. Because no one ever waits.
No.
All right, well, the victim's okay. Transported to the hospital. Going to be fine. Right. And Williams was arrested 4 hours after the shooting and charged with felony assault.
We should send him some Hot Pockets.
You're right, AJ. If you're making Hot Pockets, it's because you're hungry now.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah. There's no waiting that's involved.
The fact you're eating that means you're starving.
Right. You were hungry 20 minutes ago, and this is the best you could get.
Right. 3.5 minutes. It's all mine. That's it.
Chris in Bolton.
Yes. Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
I had a roommate use my hamburger helper was to try to make hamburger helper. The top of it all, instead of using a regular cup, he used a heater.
Did you drive in the water?
Not a great phone connection, but I heard hamburger helper.
Yeah, I heard that part. Yeah, because I'm intrigued now. My curiosity's piqued. One more time, you're nice and clear.
We're using what? What?
We can hear you now.
For when he used the water, instead of using a regular measuring cup, he used a liter size cup and he put 3.5 of those in it.
Oh, became hamburger soup.
Totally ruined it. Yeah. Totally ruined it.
Yeah, that's awful.
Oh, yeah, that's when you hit him with a spatula right in the forehead.
Piss.
Nice.
Well, I used to nickname him Inbred, if that helps.
Okay.
All right. His mom must be proud.
Inbred Ed.
Did you guys get into a fight?
It was a little tussle,
though. Okay. All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, I filled his pound face.
Number 105 in Fairfield.
Hey, what's up, guys? Listen to you guys every day.
Oh, I hung up on you. Your number, is this what we're doing now?
This is what this one's
doing. I'm number 105.
Okay.
He's nice. Proud of it. He's wearing it like a badge. I love it.
I'm 105, baby.
Welcome 105.
That's cool.
Welcome 105.
I didn't even get to. I got cut off. I didn't even get to finish my sentence. So
damn.
If you don't get to this story, baby, you're going to be 106 as well.
It's like the spies.
That's right. Maybe he'll just do it anyway.
Good morning, 105.
So, we were making tacos at my buddy's house. And we were adding hot sauce, Frank's hot sauce, over and over and over. And
best
they were simmering and simmering and simmering. And next thing you know, my buddy's roommate came home, and we were upstairs, and he just started scarfing down on the tacos.
Oops.
Taco me and all the taco stuff we had. Next thing you know, my buddy Ryan and him just started scrapping on the ground and wrestling. He's like, dude, we've been making those tacos for hours. You're just going to come home and eat them? The kid was all drunk, and that was basically it. But it was like, these guys were wrestling over tacos.
Right.
That's what it sounds like, live looking.
That's a fight that's worth fighting.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.